Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
The testimony today isn't just about what happened, it's about how it happened. Today, jurors in the federal trial of Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan are hearing from members of the arrest team. Judge Dugan is accused of helping a man who was in the country illegally evade immigration agents inside the courthouse. WISN-TV political director Matt Smith is on top of this trial. He joins us live from the courthouse. Thanks for taking time for us, Matt.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. So one of the things that I took note of so far, and I'm interested on your take, is that something that's come up numerous times already today and from numerous people is that It was not routine for the agents to talk to the chief judge. And upon learning of the arrest plan, Judge Dugan told the agents they needed to go see the chief judge. That ended up leading to confusion. What's your take on the focus of this?
So that's kind of one of the main points of contention that we're hearing in the back and forth today, because for the first time all morning on the stand, we've heard from these agents, the six agents who were actually on the sixth floor of the courtroom that day. And listen, there's some disagreement, right? This was one of the first arrests, first immigration arrests of the new Trump administration. So there was some confusion on all sides. The defense will say, listen, Judge Dugan didn't know what was going on, didn't know that these agents had a warrant, so she sent them to the chief judge's office, which is routine. The federal agents are saying, listen, we went through this process. We did our checks and balances to make sure we were going to be here. We were going to arrest him after the court hearing. And that's why we were all stationed at our positions in the hallway. So it's this back and forth about whose perspective, I guess, the jurors are going to believe at the end of the day.
So, Matt, we heard that audio yesterday about Dugan saying she'll take the heat or get the heat for what she did. Has the prosecution introduced any additional recordings or testimony that further speaks to her state of mind or maybe her intent?
No. So today is all about the agents who are in the hallway so far. And we've seen all of that video, right, that's been released publicly. But there's no audio on that video. So all we have is the word of the agents, their interpretation, and then the cross-examination from the defense. So we heard agents today describe Judge Dugan as tense, even angry at times when they ordered, they said, them down to the chief judge's office. But we'll never hear those conversations because there isn't audio on those cameras in the public hallways. So it's all based on interpretation and what these agents recall those conversations being. And obviously, if Judge Dugan is called to the stand, she will be able to give her interpretation of those conversations as well. We just don't know if that will happen yet.
It's so true that it's all up to perspective, because you could say somebody seemed very angry and they could be like, what? I wasn't angry at all. I mean,
Right. Totally
up to interpretation. But speaking of Judge Dugan's demeanor, I'm curious about her demeanor today in court. What have you observed?
She's paying attention to the witnesses, listening intently, looking at the documents, sometimes putting on her glasses to look at the exhibits that are being presented. It's fascinating to watch not only Judge Dugan, but the jurors. Some jurors have been watching her, I've noticed, to see if they can garner, I guess, any reaction when agents say a certain something. The jury has been going back and forth between looking at the exhibits, listening to those who are on the stand. I mean, these are long days full of intricate details and testimony. So for your average Joe, who now is a juror in this high-profile case, it's a moment of needing to pay a lot of close attention to some of these intricate details.
I'm always curious about the scoreboard, and I know it requires a little interpretation on your behalf, Matt, but you've been in the courtroom here. Does it seem like there is a leader in the clubhouse here? Does the prosecution have an edge, or does the defense, in your opinion?
It seems a little mixed. I've seen some reaction, some jurors even nodding in agreement when the defense team has brought up certain points. It appears that others have done the same when the prosecution has pulled up some points. And the jury is a vast array of different ages, of course, some men, some women. And we don't know specifically where they're from in southeast Wisconsin. The Eastern District is rather a large area, so you can go, you know, all the way up to Sheboygan, down to Kenosha, over into the western counties. So it has been fascinating to watch them. And just like we were talking about the conversations, all of this is up to interpretation as well.
Speaking of conversations, something else that came up was today was the Signal group chat. What did you learn about that group chat among the agents and the people around the Suress team?
So the defense has brought this up for the most part. The agents who were there that day were part of a group chat on Signal. And the defense team was the one to point out that the Pentagon had some issues. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had some issues with Signal chats. And I think that was the purpose, to kind of potentially poke holes in whether it be the credibility of the agents or the credibility of the FBI or the agencies that were involved. But they were chatting back and forth just about the arrest. And a majority of it was leading up to when Eduardo Flores Ruiz arrived. And I think we're going to hear more of that potentially this afternoon when more agents get on the stand, just in terms of what was in those chats. They showed a few of them, and the agents appeared to be joking back and forth a little bit. So we'll see what impact, if any, that has. Notable, though, the connection that the defense team is attempting to make to Signal and the Pentagon and the FBI and the overall Trump administration.
Yeah, so who was left to take the stand here this afternoon following lunch for testimony and cross-examination?
Well, so I'm assuming they're going to finish up with the agents, because that's the path prosecutors have been going, the agents in the hallway to tell that story. And then there's a number of notables that still have to testify. Eduardo Flores Ruiz's attorney, the Chief Judge Carl Ashley, is expected to testify along with numerous other people who are in the courthouse, in the courtroom that day, some of the judge's staff. Whether that is this afternoon or tomorrow, we'll just have to wait and see how fast they move along in the afternoon session here.
And what was the atmosphere like today as you walked into the courthouse? Were there protesters out there this morning? Is there more media as more people arrive? I was kind of curious, too, because I think people were expecting more national media, but I also think that there's something to be said for the fact that cameras are not allowed in federal court, and I feel like that's why you have some national outlets observing in other ways and not actually there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a hard story to tell on TV, right, when you really have no video or audio. The national presence is still here. I think it'll ramp up on verdict day. No protests or anything this morning. The courtroom maybe half empty. It was full yesterday. So maybe subsiding a little bit as we get to midweek. I'm anticipating it will really ramp up, though, once closings begin and the jury starts deliberating.
And Matt, we've been reporting that this could go on until Thursday. Any reason to believe something different could extend to Friday or even next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think Thursday is wishful thinking at this point, but you never know. I believe there are about six witnesses in. Prosecutors had indicated at one point they were going to call as many as 28 on jury selection day. They thought they could be done by Wednesday afternoon. So I think we are looking at Thursday, Friday, and then depending on how long the jury would need to deliberate or jury instructions, how long closings go, it could seep it into next week. The judge has really worked, though, to try to make that not happen. So we'll see if it wraps this week.
And no other jurors out sick today, right? Everybody's staying healthy?
No, everyone is healthy and present as of now.
That is good, because they worked with an alternate yesterday. Is that right? Because one was sick.
They lost an alternate, yes. Well, they lost one juror, so they're down to 13 now, so 12 jurors and one alternate. Both sides agreed and the judge to move on with the 13. That would be catastrophic to the process if they to start this in terms of jury selection. So they really want to keep everything on track and keep those jurors healthy.
Yeah, it is crucial that they stay healthy. Well, we are just minutes away from the jury coming back from lunch break, so we appreciate your time. We'll let you go. Yeah. That is Matt Smith, political director for WISN-TV.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Matt. Could you imagine that, right? Like the jury instructions. Go wash your hands. don't be around anybody. Like, just stay, wipe everything down. We cannot afford for you to get sick. There's a lot of people sick right now.
That's what I was saying yesterday. I mean, you kind of laugh about it, but this is serious.
Oh, my
they
gosh.
Cannot afford. I mean, you've got to have your jury to hear this case, and we already lost one alternate.
Man, oh, man.